We are going to continue where we left off last Sunday. We apologize about the trying to get this thing working. We have no phone service till or internet service till Wednesday. So my work that I did for me to send it, so y'all can see it, we had to do some slickeroo-y there. We got my laptop running the system now. So that's why we was having some trouble getting it to you. So either way, we could have done the service, but I'd like for you to see some of these things. You could write them down and help you. And we're dealing with the wonder of God. There's a lot of things that is wonderful about God and amazing about Him. I'm going to touch on a few of those things today. And I want you to see the reality of how incredible God is. Just amazes me. It's amazing how the Lord... You know, I saw y'all sitting right here this morning before y'all even got here. I saw both of y'all sitting right there. And the reason I paused because I was making sure if I seen the same clothes and everything as I was... The Lord was showing me something, but... The Lord told me, he said, you know, Brother Freddie, he's right about a lot of things, but nobody respects him for what he says. He said he's right. And I said, well, Lord, what do you mean he's right? He said, because he tells people what they don't really want to hear. But it's right. And he said they ought to respect him for that. I've seen this whole thing, exactly what's happening. And so you can't quit that. Don't matter if people listen. They don't respect it. But it's true. It's not that you're trying to hurt nobody, but maybe it comes across to them like you are, but that never changes the fact what is true. And it don't mean that every... Listen, we all have imperfections, and we do things that maybe people may not think is proper to them. But that don't change what's true. What's true is true. And this whole scene, it was like God froze it for me. And it was sitting in the same spot. They weren't flip-flop, sitting right there. And what they're doing right now, I saw it all. And he said, it's the truth that sets people free. It don't matter who it's coming from. And let me tell you what the Lord said. He said, if more people would have listened to you a long time ago, they wouldn't be going through what they're going through today. A long time ago. It's not something just said. Don't be weary in saying what's right. For in due time, you'll reap if you faint not. Don't be weary in saying what's right. How many know God wants us to speak right about Him? Me and Brother Herman about had a prayer meeting on a wharf yesterday. Because the presence of God is not in a song, though it can be. The presence of God is not in the church building, though it can be. God can't be isolated. He can't be captured. You understand? But He said we're two or three. We'll gather in My name. That's where I am. Who will honor My name? See, in His name means with two or three people will just honor Him no matter what others say. To be in somebody's name means that you're saying, I give my entire life for what they stand for. In this case, it's what God stands for. How many give your life for that? That's what Yeshua did. He gave His life, literally gave His life for what the Father stood for, and He didn't try to convince Him to change it. I know a lot of people spend a lot of their time negotiating. Can I tell you? You're in no position to negotiate. We're in no position to negotiate with God, none whatsoever. When you negotiate, there's a reason a person can negotiate. That means there's similar value on both sides. In our case, it's humanity that has rejected God and sinned. Then there's God. And no matter how good we think we are, we don't measure up to who God is. Not in our condition. We need a Savior. We have to have a Savior. He comes and He brings us back to right standing with God. So listen, if a person in here, if you've, like last week we talked about, for we all come short of the glory. We were dealing with the glory of God and the unbeliever. Today I'm going to get on the glory of God and the believer. And you need to think about that, because these are important principles. I said last week, for we all come short of God's glory. God, we come short of His glory. God doesn't come short of anything. So we don't have anything that is kind of balanced to negotiate. And you say, well, you know, do people really do it? Well, we do it. We don't even realize it, you know, because we ask God in a way that if He does, then we do. And if you don't do, Lord, how am I going to do? That's just a slick way to negotiate with God. What about we just do what He asks regardless? Because we trust Him that He knows better than we know. There's no negotiation here. God, I put my life in Your hands. And that's what you have to do literally. Because that's what Christ meant. He says, in the garden, if there's a possible way, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, Your will. Now, He was in agony, and He knew this. I'm going to give my life to You. I don't know how that feels, but I've talked to people and been around people that only had a few hours to live. How many of you have ever seen somebody just a few hours and they were going to die? You ever wonder what went through people's mind? I mean, it's inevitable. They didn't sense it. I've seen people where they just fought it for days. And then, because nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. You don't say, yeah, I'll just go ahead and die. It's a tough thing. And I've seen people that they just relax. They realize this is it. I'm not going to change it, and it's what God, if He desired anything else, I would be in it right now. I'd be living in it. But I'm going to surrender to Him. To me, with that picture, if you can take that picture, that's where we're supposed to be before we get there. Surrender to Him. We're living the life He gave us. Right now, we're actually living the time He gave us. It's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. See, that's what we're supposed to be shaping ourselves after. So today, we're going to look at the rest of what we was dealing with that and go into a different title. But I got to finish it because I stopped right here. Yeshua spoke of His Father and their Father. There's a difference between His Father and their Father. And we want to know that. How many of you want to know? And you want to know with certainty that you're following the Father, the only Father, the one God, the one Lord, one Yahweh. You're following what He directs you rather than another Father who's trying to take over. And it's a hostile takeover, by the way. How many of you know Satan comes with hostility and division and strife and contention? So if you follow the trail of why you have if you follow the trail of contention, strife, and division, what do you think that's going to lead you to? Is that going to lead you to the Father, the true Father? No. You follow that trail back enough, you find out that there's an author who authored that type of behavior. Eventually it brings you back to doubting what God actually says to be a fact. You don't even believe it as fact anymore. Because how can a person who God gave everything to, They possessed it. They owned it. It was theirs. He gave it to them. And he said, have dominion over it. And they could have all the trees of the garden except for one. That's a good deal. Like if you went to work for somebody and y'all made $1,000 and the man owned the boat said, Fred, we have $1,000. We did good. We worked hard. I appreciate how hard you worked. We made $1,000. I'm going to give you $900. And I'm going to take $100. And he sets his $100 on the table. And he walked out the door for a little while. And you went, wow, that's mighty nice of him. It's not my boat. And he gave me $900. What would you think about that? That would be awesome. You won't quit that guy. You'll be his faithful deckhand for the rest of your life. But then he walked out of the room, and while he was gone, you looked around like that and took that $100 and walked out the door. That's where man wind up. That's a terrible spot to be in. You know why? Because a little bitty word from the devil says, you know, if he really loved you, he'd have gave it all to you. All? So let's not get in no negotiation with God. Man wanted all, got him in the shape they're in. So let's not make God be the bad guy to make us feel like, why do we have to give all? We took all, we must give all. Do you understand that? And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They took everything. The one thing God said, that right here is mine. This is mine. Now, I wouldn't have to explain to anybody, and I don't think anybody would get in a debate over the fact that the guy who gave the 900, that's beyond fair. Right? So far beyond, I shouldn't even have to spend more than a few seconds on it. This is, wow. Are you serious? Real? That's what I want to do. But you see how slick the enemy is? He make you feel you ain't got enough. Somehow God ain't doing it for you. There's something out there that's better. How many remember chasing that dream? You remember you chased it with everything that was in you. Something out there. It's got to be something better. It's got to be something different. I'm going to show you today through the Word of God, if you and I just follow His footsteps and what He showed us through the Scripture, there's something amazing about Him. The wonder of God. Well, let's look at it. All right. So, Yeshua spoke of His Father and their Father. I want to take you through this part. This is so important, so valuable. John chapter 8, verse 38. And I'm going to go through some more verses. See, I started with 38, but I'm going to go further than that. So I want you to see this. It's very important. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Now, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Notice that. How many see that? I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your Father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. So that's a justification statement. We justify by who we know. Part of us, our heritage, it's our lineage. We grew up in the right clan, so there's no way we can even do no wrong. That's a terrible thing. Let me tell you, one of the worst things in the world for any parent, is to think that your children can do no wrong. You give them a terrible disservice. You, when they're wrong, you discipline them. When they were a little bitty, you discipline them. If they did something, you spanked them. When they get older, we get out of that. And we think, oh, it's just ours, you know. It don't matter if it's ours or theirs. Wrong is wrong. And they should be told. Don't do that. That's what this man's been trying to do all his life. Because I was, see, I'm going over all this week. And I'm on my drive over here this morning. And the Lord brought him into my mind. He said, you know how many times he said to his children things that they that blew off? Don't want to hear it. They were true. That's a terrible thing when children won't follow what their father's telling them. Terrible thing. I encourage him, keep saying it. Keep saying it, because when you stand before your father, he's going to say, you done well. You did what I asked you to do. That's okay. You got laughed at, ridiculed, ignored. Am I telling the truth in here? Not. But you said what was right. And it meant, I'm so thankful God gave me that picture. This exact picture. Because it meant something to me today that God, he cares so much for us. You know how many people, ignore what God says. Then they'll run into trouble a week later. And then they'll ask you, why I feel the way I feel. Well, you ignored him last week. You can't do that. He tried every way he could to get your attention. He never could get you. And this is what happened in here in this scene. Now listen to it. Abraham's our father. Why did he pick Abraham? You know why they picked him? He was intelligent. He was famous. How many think of somebody famous? Can I tell you, Abraham, in his day, he was famous. He was rich. Everybody wanted to be from that clan. Everybody wanted to be. And Yeshua said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Don't try to wear that title and not live the life. It's like putting the Christian fish on your car and parked in the clubhouse. Something ain't right there, right? So you say, well, how are we going to work? We got to work on it every day. There's no free pass. Nobody's there yet. None of us are there. We're working on it every day. But our energy, our attitude, our approach ought to be, I want to do better. I want to do better, Lord. Is that what you cry out to him every day? I want to be closer. I want to press in more towards you. Very important. Verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man. What did Jesus call himself? A man that had told you the truth. A man that told you the truth, you're trying to kill him. Which I have heard of Elohim, this did not Abraham. He do the deeds of your father. Now he's back on that term father with a small f. Father, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, for we have one father, even Yahweh. Uh-oh. So he said, you do the deeds of your father. We're not born of fornication. We have one father, that's Yahweh. Now this is their statement. See, you can take your identity in the true father. But what tells if you follow him is by the fruits you and I bear every day. What are we going to do? Well, Yeshua said to them, watch what he says. If Yeshua were your father, you would love me. Wow. It's like being in church and you say, I love God, but I don't like Josh. Verse 42, Yeshua said unto them, If Yahweh were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from Elohim. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. How do you see that? Now, there's a big difference. But then, between associating and saying, well, I love God, or I believe that Yahweh is my father. Well, there's a difference between saying it and what you do every day with that information. Because that's a powerful statement. For any group of people to say, Yahweh is our father. Let me give you an example of how practical this could be. How many's ever heard the statement, we all serve the same God? Okay? That's no different than this statement here. Because Jesus is in his talk with them, and they say, Yahweh. Now, they didn't say just God. They used the term. These are Jews he's speaking to. These are Jewish people. They said, Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Now, people say, well, they never said the word. That came much, much, much later. Don't buy into that. The Tetragrammaton, which is the abbreviation, as it were, that came much later. They all talked to Yahweh. Abraham talked to Yahweh. He didn't go Hashem, which is used now. Hashem means the name. Hashem, so they'll say, we praise Hashem. Hashem is not God's name. The word Hashem means the name. We praise the name. Because they don't want to take the name of the Lord in vain, they won't use the name. Afraid they do it. Well, you are doing it because you won't use it. Don't add titles to him. And so that's the difference. So this is what they used. They would have used Yahweh. They would have said, Yahweh is our father. So everybody that was in the audience said, that's right. We're not born of fornication. Meaning they weren't bastard children. Meaning they had a father. They knew that. And so now they're saying, Yahweh is our father. But Yeshua, what does he say? Yeshua said to them, if Yahweh were your father, you would love me. That's important. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. Notice that. You don't understand what I'm saying. That's what they, well, we don't understand. You're explaining this. We don't, because they won't hear the words. How many of you know it's hard to understand a person if you don't hear their words? It happens all the time. If you got a cell phone, you experience it all the time. Especially when I'm on the water and somebody calls me for a fishing trip. They're getting about every other word I'm saying. Why? They think I'm talking in a foreign language. I've had people on the phone, I don't understand what they're saying. It's like a gargle and you're hearing it. I can't understand you. Hello? 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 I can't understand. Now, they're talking English. It's not a foreign language. But our connection, there's no connection that's right there, so I can clearly hear what they're saying. If I hear what somebody's saying, then I know how they express their sentence. I can start to understand what they're trying to get to me. That's just the way it works. If you know English, it works that way. When your children are small and they come talk to you and they don't understand English all the way and they're going, they're talking to you, I experience this with Brent all the time. They're convincing me she's speaking English, but I said, what's she saying? And then you got to, but if you're around it all the time, you can understand her more. You can, and then you get better and better and better and better. And as you keep talking, the English gets clearer and clearer. But I don't understand it. Because where I'm coming from, I'm listening to what I already know, what I've already heard. So you don't get the full picture. How many of you ever had somebody try to tell you something and you lose them in how they said it? And it's not a foreign language, it's actually English. But you can't understand that. This is what's happening here. Listen to what he says. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. You won't listen to what I'm saying. And that's what Yeshua said. If you would listen to my explanation of what I'm telling you, you'll get what I'm saying. I'm not trying to speak a different language. He's trying to tell. I'm telling you, this is what the word says. My words. Now watch this, 44. Ye are of your father. And then he clarifies who that other father is. He said, ye are of your father, the devil. Uh-oh, now the thing's getting real tight in the building. Right? The moment you start identifying people, associating people with who their father really is. Now, why would Jesus say such a horrible thing? I mean, he told them they were of their father, the devil. That's a tough thing to say. I mean, people got to go to counseling, you tell them that today. They need to give them a bunny rabbit to hold. Because there's people sensitive, especially in the millennials. We got to buy them pizza. Bring them huggable bears and all sorts of things. Put a fan on them. Hand fan them. Jesus says, you of your father the devil? Wow. And watch what he says. And he tells why. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. What did he call him? A murderer. What's a murderer? What does it mean to be a murderer? You know what a murderer? Let me give you an example of a murderer. Man walks in a church, right? Because he's mad at somebody. Just so happened they're not there that Sunday. It don't matter to him. He already had it in his heart. He's going to commit murder. Now, he took the life of innocent kids, little girls and little boys and their mamas and daddies. Don't even know their names because he was mad. Now, who was he leading him, Yahweh or his father, the devil? Who was leading that person? Think about it, because he was being led by somebody. Wasn't his own action. He was being led by an action. Because that man, same man, could have been saved. But he chose not to be. Now he's dead. What's going to happen when he sees the Lord for the first time? Think about that. I don't know. Not my place. I can only go based on what he did. If he somehow has to stand before God for what he did, the last thing he did, that's going to be a terrible thing. Terrible, terrible thing. He will feel the anguish of all that come on him. Now, how many understand that when the scripture talks about the wrath of God, that's going to be a terrible place to be in. You don't want to be on the other side of the wrath of God. Because it's been stored up for a long time. And he's going to pour it out. When he pours his wrath out, it's going to be something. He said, heaven and earth flees from his presence. Do you think about that? When God invokes his authority and his full glory, heaven and earth flees from his presence. He said the hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. Think about that. Melt like wax? It's serious. God's serious. Yet he loves us. You ever seen a guy, a real strong guy, but he's tender? Think about the most powerful person, yet he's tender. He wants to hold you. He wants to say, I love you. I care about you. I care about what you're going through. I care about what you feel right now. But he's so much power, he can create. He can take nothing and create something. But he wants to spend time with me. That's incredible. You of your father the devil and the lust of your father you will do. Well, who wants them people dead? Why he wants them dead? Because the devil doesn't care. He knows that if you die and you're not in right relationship with God, you can lose out. He knows that. Now, I don't know about people who never had the opportunity, because there's some. You know, we try to twist the scripture and try to make sense of it, but there's people who's lived and died and never heard the gospel. Not as we preach it right now. That's a reality. That's stuff that always bugged me about studying the scripture. That's why God said, I'll have mercy on who I have mercy. You leave that up to me. That's my business. But your business is the fact that I'm telling you this good news, and it's not just for you to one day be safe. It's for you to spread the gospel. See, that's the difference. To be born in America, to live where we live, to have the opportunity we have, versus being born in a third world country out in the jungle somewhere and you got old and you just died. or you had an accident and died. Nobody's ever your unreached people group. Think about it. But you see God in things. You don't know Him as we trying to explain Him now, but you see God. You know there's something. You didn't just get there. You know there's something happened. You know you're not going to find a single, there's not a proof and case of one single person born that's unreached, that was never touched by outside influence, that's been separated from those influences and lived out in the jungle generations after generations, and they had no contact with people. Well, if you sat them down and could speak their language and you told them about evolution, they'd look at you like you've lost your mind. What are you talking about? They believe in creation. Case after case after case. So that shows you, here we are, we've been given opportunity. What is it for? For us to just have fun? Enjoy ourselves? Well, God loves that. He loves us to enjoy ourselves, to have fun. But if that's the only thing we think about, is it the only thing that we put purpose in our life to do? What about being an example? What about being a light? What about speaking when God wants you to speak? Saying what He wants you to say. That's important. He was a murderer from the beginning. So in the beginning, when that happened, there was a murder that took place, because in the day you eat, you shall surely die. And so that was from the beginning. And abode not in the truth. What does that mean, to abode not in the truth? It means he knew the truth. You can't be required to have abode in something and have it stayed in something if you never was there. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Why? Because he leaned heavily toward manipulation and lying. What he told them was a lie. He didn't speak the truth. What he told Adam and Eve was a lie. Because he didn't like his position. He didn't like the fact that God made them a little lower than the angels. They were made lower. Man was made lower than Satan was. Then he gave it to man. What's up with that, God? How are you going to treat me? You know, I thought I was going to be second. I'm it. Like in a Torah portion. You know, David's son says, I got this. I'm taking over. And we're going to have this. But that's not the plan of God. Don't self-promote yourself. God said, if you'll lift yourself up, I'll base you. And that's what happened to Satan. He lifted himself up. Remember, we read, he lifted himself up because of his beauty. And what did God do? He abased him. We're not in a position to negotiate with God. We're not in a position to say, well, God is doing it, it ought to be different. So how do we see it? Seriously, can we think past who God is and what God, in all the vastness of God? We're limited in our capacity to think past. We can't hardly remember what happened yesterday, and we're going to somehow tell God, okay, God, I think we might we ought to do it this way. I got it figured out. Listen, that's not a good position to be in when you're following somebody who said they got it figured out. We don't have it figured out. We're working through this every day. We're submitting ourselves to the Lord. We're humbling ourselves before the Lord our God, and we're saying, God, if I don't have you today, I'm going to fail. And you go to bed, you're experiencing what? You experience you're unconscious. That's the conscious. You're there, and you're alive, but you don't know what's happening. You don't know if the bug's crawling on your foot. You don't. You don't know if don't know anything. You're not aware. Stuff's happening outside. The crickets are jumping. The mice are eating bread. You don't know. You only know if you get up the next morning, there's a bread trail. Wow, that all happened while I was sleeping. Then what happens when you wake up? You get it just like a resurrection. We experience it on a 24. Do you understand? Every single day you experience the death and resurrection, the death and the resurrection. Do you understand that? You're experiencing it. And there were some, they experienced it for the last time last night. They got to wait for the real resurrection, because they didn't wake up. We are blessed today. We're fortunate to give another day to us. Thank you, Father. Is that what we say when we get up? Thank you, Father. Thank you. I'm so grateful. And we ought to be embracing him for what he wants us to do. Because there was no truth in him when he speaks, he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. So their father's telling them lies, they believe in it. How many remember when you believed the lie? Hey, you ever heard the term? You took it hook, line, and sinker? That was me. It was said, you believed it, didn't check it out or anything. Let me ask this question. How many ever put into your body something that you didn't even know fully what it was, but you had an appetite so bad you was willing to risk that it was you'd make it? That could have been a drug, whatever. If you go to Nepal, you do that all the time. You risk you. You don't know where that come from. It didn't come from the store. I can tell you that. But anyway, it could have been a drug, whatever it is. Medicine could have been over the counter, could have been prescribed. You don't know, you have no idea. Let me just tell you this. People by the thousands die every day from doing that very thing. They take something for one time and it just don't work in them. Dead. I remember years ago, there was a basketball superstar coming up, superstar basketball player. And he went to a party and it was hitting on him, you know, hey dude, one. Everybody's doing it. That's what we do. That's how you play better. You practice all day long. You don't get tired. He hit one line, and he fell dead. Think about that. You ask, why him, why not me? Some people go wide open in it. I mean, they bury their head in it. It doesn't matter why. What really matters is he did. You understand? So this is what happens. And you think the devil cares? He can care less. He gets that one. He gets that one. He's getting as many as he can because he don't want you to understand. Now watch this. That was the lie. What they told that young man, that was a lie. When they said, it'll be all right, that was a lie. He believed it. He went into it. This is what you said. He said, I told you the truth, and you won't believe me. Think about it. Which of you convinced me of sin? If I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of Yahweh heareth Yahweh's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of Yahweh. Wow. That's some tough words. You are not of Yahweh. So if you're not of Yahweh, remember, he said, I'm talking about, there was a difference. There's a distinction between Yeshua's father and our father, or your father, the devil. I mean, you know, we played both roles, hopefully today. We played both roles. One was in our past, and now the other's now, right now. It's present, and it will remain in our future. That's our hope. Not only do we serve the true Father now, but we want to continue to serve him. I never want to go back and serve in my previous time the devil, as because he was a father. And the term is a father to you. Remember that. It's not a buddy. Not, hey, cuz. A father to you. That's how you was that devoted. You was intense about it. Pleasing their father. How many want to please your true father? You got to be intense. You got to be devoted. Is this helping anybody? Acts 26, verse 13. This is the story of Saul. Remember Saul? Shaul would be pronounced Shaul. But Saul, and he's going to have this conversion. This is him. But he's before King Agrippa. How many remember when they took him and put him before King Agrippa? And this is what he lays out to him. Okay? This is his testimony. He's giving his testimony before the king. That's not a church service. He's in court. He's in court, and he gets a chance to speak in court. Not a church service. Let's see what he says. He said, At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Now, it's midday. How many has ever been at midday? and you see a light. That's not unusual. They got one. It's called the sun. But he distinguishes the sunlight from this light. How many understand what I'm talking about? He distinguishes the midday light, which is the bright noon sun, to this light. It was clearly different. Clear distinction. If something popped in the sky during midday, bright sunshine, and it kind of, it took your eye off the sun completely because it paled in comparison to what you just saw, you'd remember that. That would be a day you remember. People would remember it. But watch what he says. He's pumped up. He's given his testimony before King Agrippa. He said, O king, I saw in the way a light from the heavens above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And we were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, it would have been Shaul, Shaul, why persecuted thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, master? And he said, I am Yeshua, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Think about it. Here's a man going to persecute Christians, lock them up, have them stoned and put to death. That's what we see happening around the world today. And that's why I always tell you, don't give up on people. Don't give up on nobody. God's plan is not what we think it is. It's not ours to dictate and judge. We just have to keep serving Him, pressing into Him. And so in all accounts, there was nobody would have given Him time of day as being a believer, even though he was Jewish. He was of the Pharisees. But he wasn't a Christian. God had a plan for him. I'm going to get his attention. I'm going to let him decide. Now, he ain't coming to me. Where was he going? On his road, on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. He wasn't going to God. He would decide, I'm going to church this Sunday. And if the song's right, the music just gets my chill bumps going, I'm probably going to wind up in the altar and I'm going to cry and I'm going to do right. That ain't what happened to Saul. What happened to him, he was going to do his business. He was going to persecute Christians. He was against the Christians. And God says, I'm going to give this boy a chance. I'm going to try to help him out here. Think about that. Because where I'm going with this, you need to think in those terms. So he says, you're going to do what I tell you. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Now, he's telling this to King Agrippa, a pagan. Verse 18, he's telling him what the Lord's telling him he's going to do. He's going to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan into Elohim, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I don't know if that does anything for you. When I read that, I'm going, wow. Now, I didn't see anything. It wasn't his decision to have that encounter. That was God's decision. And I can tell you, there's times in our life that God made a decision to give us an encounter, and we squandered those encounters. I want to tell everybody here today, don't squander an encounter that God gives you. I beg of you, don't. Don't ever squander an encounter God gives you. The worst thing you could do is that. Do what Paul did here. What did he do? He said, what do you want me to do? You tell me what you want me to do, and I'm going to do it. And that's what he did. He never looked back. He did what God asked him to do. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, through the fourth chapter, 1 through 6, we'll look at it. Now, Yeshua is that spirit, and where the spirit of Yahweh is, there is liberty. But we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of Yahweh, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of Yahweh. This is what happened to him on that road. It's what happens to us. There's no difference. Man, if I had been on that road, I probably wouldn't have. You know, it's the same spirit. The same spirit, the same thing happened. It happens to us. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, think about it, as we have received, and that's starting with the first verse of the fourth chapter, mercy, we faint not. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Elohim deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Elohim. Now watch this, verse 3. But if our good news be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the mighty one of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious good news of Messiah, who is the image of Elohim, should shine unto them. There's no difference. I thank God that that light shined on me. That light shined down on me. Same light. No different. I know everybody said, man, that was something, you know. Look how come. It just must have been something that happened to him. Same light. Same light shined on him. Same light shined on you. The difference is, who's going to say, I'll do what you want me to do? Master. Has he become your master? Your Lord? Your Mashiach? Is that what Christ has become? Because if once he does, what is he going to do? He's going to lead you to the Father. And the more you get to know the Father, it'll change everything about you. Those who do know their God will do great exploits. That's in Daniel. Those who do know their God will do great exploits. How many want to do great and notable deeds? That's what it means, great and notable deeds. So that's important to understand. Now, for we preach not ourselves, but Messiah, Yeshua, the Master, and ourselves, your servants of Yeshua's, for Yeshua's sake. Now notice this, for Elohim, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Elohim in the face of Yeshua Messiah. Notice that the glory of Elohim is in the face of Yeshua Messiah. So that's the experience that he wants us to have. So if you see the Son, Yeshua, the glory of Elohim is in the face of Yeshua. That's important. And again, all this is tied in with the wonder of God's glory. The wonder of God's glory. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 15 through 23. Let's look at it together. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Master Yeshua, and love unto all the saints. This is Paul, again, addressing after hearing of their faith in Master Yeshua. He says, verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the El of our Master Yeshua Messiah, the Father of glory, who's the El? The Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, I want you to understand, when he says, use the term give there, that's exactly what has to happen. Now, this is after I heard of your faith. So you could be in the faith and still not have been given the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. How many want that? How many want the knowledge of him more? Well, you don't get saved and you arrived. You joined. Right? How many's ever joined something for the first time or went to something for the first time and you walk in with a room full of people, maybe they've been there before you, a long time before you, and they kind of know some things. Like they know where the bathroom is and you don't. You know, they don't have to ask. They just get up from the table and go to it. You say, hey, where the bathroom's at? And once they tell you, you know where that's at. And there's some other things they probably know that you don't know, but you hadn't been there long enough. But you stay there, you're going to know some things. But how many remember your first day on a job or the first day of doing something? What about the first day of being married? Our first day of marriage, one of the things I said was, "Man, this is great." Then all the greatness goes away after a while, right? So what do you got to do? Well, you can't live on that feeling. You got to keep building and learning and educating yourself and getting to know each other. That's what you do. But if you stop right there, it's over. You come to God through Christ Jesus. How are you going to make that work? The first day on the job, how are you going to feel? I don't know nothing. I'm just glad I'm saved. Woo-hoo, I feel good. I'm saved. You say I'm saved. You go to the store. You saved? I'm saved. You coming to church with me? I've seen people do it. They get saved, man. They going to everybody. They waiting. You waiting? Man, I ain't seen them in a while. You open the door. Hey, you saved? I got saved. That's church. You coming to church with me? I remember this happened. The guy gets a list. He gets this list. He writes everybody's name down that he went out to the barrooms with and did drugs with and drank with and partied with. He wrote all their names down. He showed it to me. He said, "Look, I got them right here. I'm going to every one of them. I'm going to let them have it." He did. I'm telling you, he was on fire. He was going to them. "Y'all got to come to church, man. This is it. This is it. This is it. Oh, it's great. It's great, great." All of a sudden, he hit the wall where the feeling left him. Whew. What I do now? That's the time you stop. They've been trying to tell you, slow down. Slow down. Learn something about your father. Learn about your father. Sit down and be taught something. Learn something in the scripture. Let me tell you, what are they going to teach you? Well, there's going to be a day you ain't going to feel so good. There's going to be a time you're going to feel like everybody left you. Everybody hates you. But don't you quit, because I love you. I love you. I love every part of you. There's going to be a day you mess up. You say the wrong thing. There's going to be a day that you touch that stuff again a little bit. That's okay. I want you to know I still love you, and I'm going to help you get through it. I'm going to break every band, every addiction, every chain. We're going to break it all. Just keep holding on. He didn't want to get taught that. He was too busy telling people. And all of a sudden, all that work and all that energy and all that enthusiasm was gone in a day. It's gone. Just went back. Man, I tried that. I went talking. I tried that. I mean, I don't know. It's just hard. You don't understand how hard. So you live in a different world. Because somebody should have told me. I live in the same world you live in. There's an adversary. There's a devil who's after everybody. Same devil. I'm here to tell you that the same God that knocked on my heart's door a long time ago, he still knocks every morning. Every morning. Can I come in? You better believe you can come in. You're welcome. You can come anytime you want, stay as long as you want. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Let me tell you, you get on your knees and sing a tune like that, there's something about it. And he says, "Oh, I'm so glad you need me. I love that you need me. I'm so excited that you want me." That's what he wants. He wants relationship. I mean, you know, these are important times. Important. But God, just cry out to him. Call upon him. Call on his name. He's there. He said that day, El, our Master, Yeshua, Messiah, the Father of glory. Think about it. The El of our Master, Yeshua, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Watch verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Well, for what? That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Oh, boy. Not our calling. Don't focus on your calling yet. You get focused on your calling, you'll miss his calling, and we don't know if we're supposed to, what we're supposed to do. And that's what people do. They go to Bible college, And they'll get focused on their calling, my calling, and they lose track of his calling. And then they'll start pastoring, and they'll quit that, and they'll go evangelize. Then they'll quit that, and they go do this, and missionary. Then they'll quit that, and they quit everything. Then they're back on a job somewhere working. You know why? It's not that they don't love God, and through all that process, they never quit. They just don't know what to do. Because you got to focus on his calling, not yours. I mean, understand, he talks about us being called, but he's got a calling that he wants us. So we want to be focused on that. The eyes of your understanding being light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Very powerful. And I thank God for his word. Amen. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? How many want to know about the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to what? According to the working of his mighty power. Well, how is he going to do that? Which he wrought, the word wrought is work, which he worked in Messiah, in Christ. In Messiah he worked this. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and might, and power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, not only in this age, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. How many know that excites me when we start talking about the age to come? There ain't enough preaching on the age to come. We need to know about it. I want our church to know about it. I want you to know about it. And have put all things under his feet. Somebody's putting something under his feet. Now his feet brings me back to Genesis 3. Right? Genesis 3, the curse. Now we got the liar lied, and he manipulated and convinced them to side with him for a moment. They recognize, wow, that was a bad mistake. Now I'm stripped clean. No glory. Naked. Let's try to see what we could come up with. They sew leaves together. That's not going to work. Right? How many ever seen leaves kind of just live on forever? No, you know what leaves do? They dry up. Then they dry and they get brittle. Your britches will break. You don't want your britches breaking in the wrong place, right? It's brittle. It's going to break. So then what you got to do? When it's no good, you got to get more. And you constantly got to do more and more and more and more to keep you covered. But when God comes along, there's a life going to take. A life's got to be taken in order to put a coat around you. And how many know them coats? A skin, they'd last for years. And especially when the anointing of God's on them, and he said their shoes didn't even wear out for 40 years. The shoe business, they go out of business. They don't sell shoes last 40 years. They can't make no money. They make them good, but they don't last 40 years. You understand? They shoes, one pair, 40 years. Look at that. Wow. That stuff still look good. Because you got God supplying the need, plus his anointings on it. That's what happened when he covered them. But that was temporary. He said, I'm going to cover you temporarily with this stuff. The blood of bulls and goats can only go so far. But one day, I'm going to send somebody, I'm going to raise somebody up like a prophet. Matter of fact, he's going to be like Moses. It's going to come from your own brethren. And he would not fail. And John looked up when he came. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. There he is. That's him right there. What a day that must have been for those spectators on the banks of the Jordan. Old crazy John. Looking all wild looking. Ain't been in town for a while. Everybody knew him as Crazy John. You're just a little loose there. You got to know, don't pay no mind to everything John says. he don't, you know, he eats crazy food and calls out the governors and the kings and tells them they're a bunch of sinners and they're going to hell. He's just a street preacher. Don't pay no mind. Listen. Always pay mind. Because you never know what's happening. It may not suit you at the time, but you just never know. It only takes one person to realize their error, and God will put them on there for a long time, just for that one. Because that's how much love God has. But John said, it was prophesied that John would be the forerunner. He would come before him. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." He said, "I'm not even worthy to take the shoelaces off his feet, his shoes. I can't. I'm not even worthy to bow to him and do his shoes." Isn't that amazing? He said, "I baptize you with this water unto repentance, but he shall baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire." So we have a difference, a shifting here. He's far above all these things. He put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the assembly of the church, the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Very powerful. Now, next week, I'll take on this portion here, the glory of God and the Christian. The church plays a vital role in bringing glory to God. The church. I thought I was going to get on this. I really did. And now I know why the Lord, there's a reason why he knows. But I thought I was going to get on all, just get through this part. But my prayer today is that the scripture that I gave you, I would take some time. Take some time to go over them. Look at them. Let them minister to your life. Let them minister to every part of your being. Understand there's two fathers that are dealt with through Yeshua's ministry. Two fathers. And that father that's dealt with that is not talking about Abraham. They tried to play that. Say, we have Abraham. He said, if you were Abraham, you'd do what Abraham does. And what Abraham does, he submits to Yahweh. He faithfully submitted to Yahweh. I mean, who takes their son, the only son Isaac, and puts him on an altar, puts the wood there, and gets the knife and starts on his downward motion to sacrifice his own son, knowing that God's got, you're going to raise him. I'll take his life. You asking his life, I'm going to give his life. But obviously, the way I can tell, you can't lie. When he could swear by no higher power, he swore by himself. The word of God is immutable. It can't change. God doesn't change his word so it fits the dialogue of what's going on or what or it fits the environment of things that happen. He don't change his word. How many of you know that people change things to fit the surroundings, the events? They'll start altering or changing or editing things. God doesn't change. The immutability of God is that he changes not. He said, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not." Changing always brings with it the what we would get from it when we see the change is that, well, that's easy. If you see something that don't quite fit, you can make a little change, then it fits that paradigm of what's going on. And then later on, if it doesn't fit, you change again, and it fits that paradigm. How many know that God is not trying to fit any paradigm? He's telling the world, if you want me, you have to come to me. How many have ever seen people shift in paradigm shifts and do different things and change different things to just kind of fit? And that's how it happens. But I'm so thankful that he doesn't change. He said, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not." So we have the immutability of God that he can't change. Whatever he said, he's going to do. And he's going to continue to do that. So that's what we see throughout Scripture. And I want to encourage you today. Make sure that you follow your father. And you can tell. You're going to do the deeds of your father. Is the deeds of the heavenly father, is it to murder? No. That's why we're not going to go around and do that thing, those things. But yet people do it. Can you imagine if that whole event would have happened at our church? Can think about it. I want you to think about it for a little while. What if the event that happened in Texas would have happened at our church? You think we'd have just went back to some normalcy already? You think we'd have just, everything would have been, you know, okay, let's just go back. We would be in, it would be terrible. And that's what they're facing. There's no normalcy. They're not going back and it's going, okay, turn in your hymn book to 475. And nobody wants to turn in a hymn book right now. We want an answer. How is that possible? We live in a society where that can happen. And the Word of God is trying to get our attention and saying, hey, if you think that's something, you wait. You hadn't seen tribulation. You wait when it happens on mass scale all over. And it don't mean that people got to get bad in order for that to happen. Bad is already there. Bad has been there. And we're seeing it more and more and more. It's progressively getting worse. But here's what I think about. What if that had happened at our church? We would have no zero sense of normalcy right now. It would be terrible. Terrible, terrible. You know, how's that pastor, you know, does he even feel like getting up and saying anything that his kids have been shot in his own church? You know, what church kind of represents a place of safety. You can go there as a family. You don't feel like you're going to be attacked. Now, I know in America, now, it's different. You know, the first time I was in a church service, and I was like, okay, this is unusual, and the military showed up in full gear. And boy, it took me back. It really did. I mean, they came to shut the whole thing down. Military, when we was in Nepal, our first time in Nepal, the military came, and I was like, oh, boy, what's going on here? And all of a sudden, I felt, boy, these people feel this. They didn't even miss a beat. I was worried. They was over there, hallelujah, hallelujah. They didn't, who cares about them guys? We see that all the time. Different environment. And it'll change everything. And that's what's happening around the world. Think about people. Don't just look at the news. Don't just hear the story. Oh, that's a terrible thing. Think about how they're feeling, what they're going through. Think about that it's maybe it's not so crazy to think ahead, to think about. That's not crazy. I never would have dreamed. If you'd have told me 30 years ago we'd be thinking in these terms, I would have gone, yeah, right. Nobody's doing that stuff. But it's a reality now. And it's because the devil is real. He's real, and he's really lying to people, and they believe in it. Because you seriously believe in a lie if what you did you think is okay. You're out of your mind. But let me just tell you, if you think the devil is real, I'm going to tell you, Yahweh, he's real. He's real. And he loves us, and he cares for us. He wants the best for us. So don't give up on him. Don't quit on him. Do what your father wants you to do. But you're going to be doing whatever your father, whoever your father is, you're going to be doing his deeds. I guarantee you're going to be doing that. Who wants to do the deeds of your heavenly father? And we've been on both, we played both roles. Nobody in here is innocent. We played both roles. And everybody here knows the difference between which father you're following. We all know that. It don't have to be explained. We know that. We know what how that feeling feels. I want to do everything I can in my actions, in my deeds, in my conversation to follow my Heavenly Father and make sure I'm doing what He wants me to do. Because the adversary, he's out there to get you. He wants to get you. How many know we serve an incredible God? So I hope that you're seeing these things in the Scripture. I don't know why we went down this path, but we are. And I want to finish it out. I got a few more sections to do. But I'll take on this one, the glory of God and the Christian, next week. We'll cover this. I think I could do it all in, next week. And then one more, I think, after that, and we'll close out. And then we'll be going into our third part of As the World As We Know It Real. We'll cover the third part. And that's dealing with Elohim. Does Elohim describe three persons in Scripture? Three persons, and we'll talk about that. Because I'm not quite finished through the study. I have about a book and a half to do yet, and I want to finish it. Once I do that, we'll be ready to go. And I'll explain it to you best I can. All right? Well, God bless you. I love each one of you. I appreciate you. I thank God for you. I want to encourage you to remember to sign up if you're going to participate in Thursday night Bible studies. If you want to do that, we're going to shift up and do some things. And the reason I'm telling you this, we'll explain this to you this morning. We believe, without a doubt, the Lord has really wooed our hearts and really brought confirmation that this will be a way for us to have a serious outreach to begin to really look at some of these important things that we can do in a different setting. And we're going to do that. So if you want us to have Bible study at your house, you sign up. Just remember, there's going to be a certain few requirements. You got to at least be able to have 10 to 12 people to come. Okay? They got to be able to sit. They don't have to sit. We can sit on the floor. We can sit on a couch. We can sit in chairs. You don't have to be a church service setting where you bring in chairs. 10 to 12. You have to be willing to participate in providing drinking water. Okay, that's easy. In any other thing that you might want to do. As long as you know, it's not a party. We don't want it to be a party. It never will be a party. So drinking water, soda, coffee, and if you want to have some chips or pretzels or biscuit, shortbread. Yeah, Charlotte, ham and cheese, and she said, no. That girl right there, she's full, handful. So just know that those are the things that we would like you to do. You're hosting it, but it's not a party. So don't mix them two up. Not even close to extravagant. Just simple stuff. Just like you kick back, you relax stuff. That's it, that's what we want. And then you have to be willing to invite people to your home, other than the ones that will be coming from here. Willing to invite people or have other people come as a guest of those that are coming. So initially, you're the inviter. Neighbor, family, friends, invite them. So that's what we want. And there's no home out of reach. We will do everything we can to participate with making that happen. Okay? Let me emphasize again, no home out of reach. You say, oh, you don't know. I know. Believe me, I know. That's fine. We're going to make that work. And so once I know how many homes that are here that want to do it, we'll put it together. The rest of it will be put together and you'll be divided. So there'll be, our goal is to have four homes having Bible study at the same time. All at the same time. So that spreads everybody the way we want it. And then we alternate. We'll get that to you. But me and Brother Josh, we was going over it this morning. We can't really get anywhere outside of having that list of names. Okay? So please let us know. Do you have to participate? Not at all. If it doesn't work, it's fine. Some people's home is too small. It's not set where they can do that. That's okay. But you'll be attending the other homes. It'll be fine. We don't, obviously, we understand that. It's no big deal. But we do need some people's homes available if we can make that work. Okay? As soon as we get that, we'll be on track. And we will have Bible study every Thursday. It's not going away. We'll have it every single Thursday. But it won't be here. Okay? And there's a reason for it. You'll see it as this thing progresses. All right? We have classes or service time or whatever you want to call it. That happened here from Thursday to Saturday and Sunday. We need to share the love. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to spread it out and get it where other people would be able to come and be a participant in that. The whole goal is you inviting. If you don't invite, we're back just doing it somewhere else and doing the same thing. Invite your family, your friends, your neighbors, whomever would like to come over to your house. And don't invite them and say, hey, we're having coffee, come over. That is not true. It's a partial truth. We are having coffee, but we're having Bible study. So that's how you invite. Hey, we're having a Bible study at our house. Would you like to come? That way they don't get there and say, you tricked me. I don't want to trick nobody. All right? They'll come. If we get it built right, they'll come. If it's structured right, they'll come. All right? So we're going to go, basically, we're going to do exactly what the enemy don't want us to do. We're going to be obedient to God, and we're going to go and do combat this principality head on. And it's going to fall. We're going to see people love to be in God's presence again on this peninsula. And we're going to serve him with everything that's in him. When we sing, we're going to sing all together. It's going to be loud. It's going to be long. It's going to be amazing. The enemy knows I can't let that happen. But we're going to take that on and say, you know what, God? We're going to trust you, and we're going to believe for breakthrough. Amen? All right. I love you. I thank God for you. Let's remember to pray for one.